Hi, everybody, and welcome back. I am Portia.
I'm Mercedes.
And we are God's Daughters. What's up, M?
What's up, P?
How you been, girl?
I've been doing good. I've been doing real good. I'm kind of excited about our topic for today, but other than that, it's been real.
God has been so good in our lives, you guys. As you can see, our background has changed again. Yeah. But every single time it changes, it's a level
up. It's an upgrade.
And it's for the better. Yeah. So we are committed to not only talking to you guys about the Word of God and sharing our experiences and where God is bringing us to and how we're growing, but we're also committed with just giving you guys quality content so that you can be able to see us clearly and hear us clearly. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
anywho. No hiccups.
Right. No hiccups. So let's talk about what we're going to be talking about today.
Today, our topic is God anoints and God appoints.
Yeah. Anointed and appointed. And what I love is how whenever God gives us a topic, he gives us the exact same topic. And then we always go back to our quiet time and individually and allow for God to pour into us. And when we come back together, we don't fully share our notes, but we kind of give like a preliminary because we do want the conversation to be organic. But just with the preliminary, we can see that it's the same thing of what God is pouring into us for.
And if it's not the exact same thing, it'll be, I'll have part of the message, you'll have the other part, and it flows.
Together, it's the whole message.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to share how this message came about. Let's see here. So God gave me a dream. He gave me a dream not too long ago, and I recorded it in my phone, but me and Mercedes, we had a whole nother idea of what we were going to be, our next episode was going to be about. And then we jokingly said, like, but we're going to leave room for the Holy Spirit because normally he thinks our ideas are trash.
Yeah, literally.
Normally he thinks all of our ideas, he's like, that sounds good, but it's bad. Yeah. So let me do the planning.
Mm-hmm. He goes a whole nother. That's why we just stopped planning. At this point, wasting our time.
Exactly. So I went to sleep and God gave me a dream. And in this dream, I audibly heard God say, he said, now I want you to teach my people on how I train up and how I anoint them, and how I train them up. And I remember waking up from that dream, I immediately wrote it down. It's time stamped in my phone and I'm texting Mercedes and she's like, well, see, we were just joking about it the day before and here he goes. But I immediately began to feel like more and more like, God, I don't know if I'm qualified to be talking about all these things that you have me talking about because just in my own personal life, like sometimes I just don't feel like I have it together. And yet you're calling for me to talk about things that, you know, I'm also still going through this journey as well. And within that moment, the Holy Spirit just like subtly like put me in my place, but he gave me comfort. And he said, many are called, few are chosen. And then he said, you know, God, he gave me that saying where God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
And, you know, that just kind of, as you were talking about, you don't feel qualified. I felt that. I didn't feel I was qualified for this. I known Christ all my life, but this is the first year in 2024 that I've taken him this seriously. And he just brought to my memory, he said, you know, if you look at all of the OGs in the Bible, the ones that are known, they were not qualified. Mm-hmm. You think about one of the worst ones was Saul. Mm-hmm. He was killing Christians. And look what God did. He knocked them off of his horse. Amen. And said, now you're qualified. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just, we literally don't have anything literally that bad.
Called him and yeah. on the road to Damascus, yeah. he was getting ready to go yeah. annihilate and persecute mm-hmm. and murder Jews. Mm-hmm. And God said, why are you persecuting mm-hmm. me?
But you know why I think he does that? I believe Christ always calls the unqualified because he wants all of the glory, all of the credit. If you call somebody that we already know is qualified, well, then there's no surprise.
Yeah.
They can take all the glory mm-hmm. and all of the credit. But if you call someone that is the last person, an atheist, mm-hmm. for example,
yeah,
you would think, how? And it would be nobody but God. So
amen.
That's really what I think.
Yeah. So I think that is a perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about, which is anointed and appointed.
Anointed and appointed.
Anointed and appointed. Yeah. Because first you need to be, God anoints you. Mm-hmm. And then he appoints you for mm-hmm. the assignment. But just remember that before God formed us in our mother's womb, he knew us. He ordained us.
Yeah.
He set us aside and he foreordained. Mm-hmm. and preordained our entire lives. Mm-hmm. And that right there just gives me comfort mm-hmm. in the midst of the uncertainty for sure. But let's start with our scripture that you have.
Okay, so I am reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it's 21 through 22. Mm-hmm. And so it reads, "Now it is God who made both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." And I think my favorite takeaway out of this entire thing is he puts his seal on us. Mm-hmm. So once you're anointed, he's basically saying, now you belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
You are mine now.
Mm-hmm.
I am the author of your future, of your everything. You know, so I don't know. When I read that, I kind of got goosebumps when I first mm-hmm. read that.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. So. So for me, I love that because backtracking prior to the dream that God gave me about a month ago, when we talked about what our next topic was going to be, he gave me a dream back in June. And in this dream, this is what he told me verbatim. I saw myself teaching people out of the book of Esther and what he had the Holy Spirit to say through me in the dream. Because oftentimes he gives me dreams where I'm being taught, like I'm being taught about heavenly things and heavenly principles and biblical principles. And so in this dream, I saw myself teaching someone else, but the words that were coming out of my mouth were just like, these weren't my words. And what the words that I said, ushered by the Holy Spirit, was, oftentimes, before we are taken into our promised land, something tragically happens or something happens to where we feel like the rug is being snatched from underneath us. And so after I said that part in the dream, like, I woke up. And so when I was praying about, okay, Lord, what do you want me to talk about with anointed and appointed? He said, I want you to circle back to that, because in the dream I was teaching out of the book of Esther, and that's where my scriptures are going to come from today. So my first scripture from Esther is Esther 2:12. It says, "Each young woman's turn came to go into King Ahasuerus."
Girl, I'll be butchering them names. Okay.
Okay, so each young woman's turn came to go into the king, and after she had completed 12 months preparation according to the regulations for the women, for thus were the days of their preparations apportioned, 6 months of oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfume and preparations for beautifying women. And so as I took a deep dive into that scripture, God gave me the Hebrew word for anointing, and it means, it's pronounced Shemen, like Shehmen. Mm-hmm. And that word oil, it also means anointing. Mm-hmm. So Esther went through 6 months of being anointed and then 6 months of being beautified. And so the revelation that God gave me was that there is a process in how he anoints us. So first, the preparation, okay, preparation births purpose, and purpose births our promise or leads us into our promise. So preparation births purpose, and purpose leads us into our promise. And so during the preparation phase is when God anoints us. And one of the things that people don't understand is that the anointing attracts problems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I'll never forget. I've heard people say, I felt the anointing come up on me, or when the anointing fell on me. But I never experienced that. I actually, when I first decided I wanted to be serious with Christ, he didn't waste any time. Mm-hmm. He did not waste any time. And I remember I was watching a sermon on TV, and I was so deep into it. Like, I lost myself. I was so deep into it. I think it was during a praise and worship. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget. I was standing right in front of my TV, and I felt something that poured over me from the top of my head all the way down. I got chills. Mm-hmm. It felt like pins and needles was all over me. Mm-hmm. And I heard a voice say, as the pouring was going, "You'll never be the same." And I knew that was him. Mm-hmm. And I felt something come inside of me. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. Mm. That
describe how you felt the Holy Spirit come inside of you.
Oh, girl. It's almost unexplainable. Like, once the pouring came upon me, it felt like a heaviness. Mm-hmm. That almost kind of like, I don't know. It was very sci-fi.
Like, I remember when you first told me the story, you said that you literally could feel the presence of like a big person, just kind of like.
I had to lay down. Yeah. I laid down, and that's when I felt the pins and needles.
Oof, goodness.
And it was literally from the top to my feet were tingling. And I was just like, I remember calling my mom, and she was just like, "That was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You got the Holy Ghost now.
You got
now.
The Holy Ghost now."
I
Amen.
Said, "Okay, not me finna start shouting now. Like, don't be doing that."
And he's been talking to her ever since.
What?
And
non-stop.
When I tell you, the problems have came.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've come.
You know, I'm going to tell you this. I feel like I didn't understand why the problems came, because mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't have this much stuff going on mm-hmm. until I decided to get to know you. That's when
a lot of Christians don't understand. They think, okay, I come to Jesus, my life is going to be perfect
now.
Yeah,
no, nope.
But no, you come to Jesus and literally all hell can break loose. But it's not that all hell wasn't breaking loose in your life before you came to Jesus. It's just that you were oblivious to the demonic attacks that you were under prior to you coming to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, he takes the veil off of your eyes so that you can see what's been happening spiritually with you the whole time.
But you know what? That is, and I wrote this down. I wrote down a few. I'm not going to go into all of them, but I want to go into one of them, which is the power of anointing and the benefits. Having the anointing comes with many factors. But the fact that, let me see. The anointing provides, it protects, and it gives provision.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The anointing is tangible, and it can be felt and mm-hmm. transferred. But something that I remember writing down in my quiet time is how God really, like, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, it will let you know everything that's getting ready to come. Mm-hmm. He had already told me, you're getting ready to go through some things.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that I'm still not God. I'm still here, and I'm still here with you. But the things that are getting ready to take place in your life, well, you're asking me. You're asking to give you wisdom. You're asking me to give you all these things, but you got to understand, you're going to have to go through all of this.
Character development, for sure.
And he told me, that's why you got to be careful what you ask for.
Right?
Be careful what you ask for.
No,
and he did tell me, the enemy, he said, you're a target now. Once the anointing falls over you, you are a target, and you are the enemy's worst enemy.
No, for real.
You are the worst. And he's going to target you. He said, but as he brings those problems, it's going to be for your good. I'm going to work it all out for your good. Mm-hmm. So he's over there plotting and planning, but I already got a solution to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So. I remember one of the many times that I've heard the voice of God audibly, but this time it shook me up. It was earlier this year, and I woke up and I audibly heard God, and the voice, the tone that I heard God in, he sounded like literally like an older man, like this older man that's filled with wisdom. And I heard him in my ear. It was so audible, but I heard him say, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. But as God began to talk to me about this message of why when you're anointed, why the anointing attracts problems, he said, it's because you are the solution mm-hmm. to the problem. And so even bringing it back to Esther, we see that after she was anointed, there was two problems that came to her. And she was the solution. Mm-hmm. She was the solution for each problem. The first problem that came to her, well, there was a plot to assassinate her king. And she went and she told the king of this information through her uncle Mordecai. And she was able to save his life by revealing this information. And then the second time we see the problem comes to her where now there's a plot to annihilate all of the Jewish people. And her first response, you know, was to fast and to ask for wisdom on how she approaches the king with this. But I kind of want to backtrack it a little bit because within the preparation, there's a few things that take place. And let me go to here in my notes that I have. All right. So within this preparation, number one, God changes your name. He gives you a new identity. So Esther, she was her Jewish name was Hadassah. I think I said that right. Hadassah. Yes, that was her Jewish name. And, you know, Mordecai told her, you know, don't talk about your racial identity, that you're a Jew and or ethnic identity, just you're going to be called Esther when you get there. Mm-hmm. You can imagine that a lot of times I think that we fantasize or we romanticize the idea of Esther being chosen to be the king's bride because it's the idea of, okay, well, she gets to go live in the palace and she becomes queen. But when we really think about it from her experience, it was very traumatizing because all of the Jewish virgins at the time he was calling for, everyone was literally getting ripped from her family. And she had already lost her parents. And now she was getting ripped from the only family that she had, which was her uncle raising her, you know, in the place of her father. Her uncle Mordecai was like her dad. So she's being basically ripped from her family, forced to go live in a palace with strangers. And she doesn't know what could become of her because if the king doesn't like her, she's afraid that he can kill her, mm-hmm. essentially. And we even see that same fear of death come up on her whenever she is brought the news from Mordecai about, you know, Haman's assassination attempt for the Jews. We see her once again being scared to go to the king because she's scared for her life. Mm-hmm. And so whenever God takes us through, first, we have the preparation before we walk into our purpose. And within that preparation, we know that God anoints us. And then after he anoints us, he gives us a new identity. He changes our name. Mm-hmm. And we even see this over and over again in the Bible where Abram's name was changed to Abraham, Sarai Saul. To Sarah, yeah, Saul to Paul. Yeah. So we see this name happening, this name change happening. I mean, even Peter's name was changed in the Bible from Simon to Peter. So it's a part of God giving us a new identity. And then the next thing that God does after he gives us a new identity, we see where he tells in this story with Esther, Mordecai tells Esther, okay, now don't go telling people about your background. And the revelation that God gave me on that was that sometimes we get saved and we're so excited to share our testimony and to share what we've been through. And this is something that recently I was talking to you about, and he was telling me, like, it's not the time for you to share your testimony and your story yet. Yeah. Because there's a certain appointed time and a mm-hmm. season for everything. There's even an appointed time and a season for us to share that testimony of what God has done in our lives or whatever it is. And we can see that with Mordecai telling Esther, don't reveal of your Jewish identity.
No, I want to say something as far as identity, because that's something that I struggle with, getting to know Christ. I didn't feel like who I was, I didn't feel like that was actually me. Like, I felt like there was always something more. And that's when he told me, Satan sold you a false identity. And you've been holding on to that for years and years and years. And he told me, you're right, you don't know you, but I do. So he said, a way for me to combat when I feel this is something that I am, which is usually Satan. Satan tries to say, you're not this, you're not that. He said, anytime the enemy gets into your head, it's not you getting in your head, it's Satan getting in your head. Whenever he says, you're not something, he says, you say, I am this.
Amen.
If he says, you are something, you say, I'm not that. Mm-hmm. He say, you just say, whatever he says you are not or you are, you say the opposite. And when I tell you, that has been helping me see who I am amongst, obviously, Christ. But he's saying, there's some, I'm going to show you who you are, but there's some things that you can do also. And I don't know, maybe that'll help other people also. But just know that you're not who you think you are.
Amen. Yeah. No, the identity part is very crucial, because he changes our identities when we come to Christ. He changes our names. And and so it's very common. The next thing that he talked to me about was that after he gives us a new identity. So first, he changes your name. He gives you a new identity. He tells you not to talk about some things that he might have delivered you from, because it's just not time. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he pours the anointing on us. And we see that it happening within that order, within the book of Esther. We see her going through that. It wasn't until she got into the king's house, into the king's palace, where that anointing was that was a process of 6 months. And just with it overall being a 12-month process, 6 months of being anointed, 6 months of being beautified, I mean, there's been times in my life where I'm waiting on God to come through for something, and he takes me back to that scripture. Even with this year, he's like, 12 months. You know, like, the first 6 months is going to be your anointing process, and the rest of the 6 months is going to be where you're in that beautifying process. And when I tell you right now, I am in the season of that beautifying process. So I definitely see that. The next thing that the Lord began to talk to me about with this was purpose. And he revealed to me that, you know, once she was anointed, now Esther was able to walk into her purpose of being queen. And then, you know, as I stated, the anointing attracted problems. And so there was two problems that she began to deal with. But the thing that God began to give me a revelation of, even after he anoints us, we have a choice. And we can decide whether or not if we want to take his yoke. Even though he says, my yoke is easy, we can decide if we want to take his will. It's God's will or it's our own will. But he says, it's life or death, choose life.
Yeah.
And so over in Esther 4:13 through 14, it says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any other Jew. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So that really hit me, was that, you know, God gives us a choice after he anoints us, and after we're walking, we get to our purpose and our purpose is revealed. He gives us a choice. Now, these are the things that I have. That's the assignment for you to do within your purpose. But don't think that, you know, you not doing it, I'm just going to do my own thing, like, that you're safe.
Yeah, no.
Because Mordecai lays before her basically life or death, and he lets her know that if you don't stand up for the Jews, you will perish. But he also says something else that was very pivotal. But he said, the Jews' help will come from another place. And one of the revelatory things that God has been revealing with me on is that his purpose stays the same, but sometimes he will change out the players because we have free will. And we see this even with David and Saul, mm-hmm. where Saul was anointed to be king, but Saul got into doing some things that he wasn't supposed to do. He became infatuated with the people and pleasing the people and his idea, his image to people. Mm-hmm. And we see where this even grieves Samuel. And God looked at Samuel and he said, why are you mourning over me rejecting Saul? I've already chosen a new king. Go anoint David. Mm-hmm. And so we see where David now, through a course of time, he takes the throne of being king. But God's purpose is still fulfilled, but he doesn't have to use you.
No.
And that's something that even that he dealt with me recently, even with what we're doing here on this platform, like, God began to talk to me like, I don't have to use you. If you're not going to line up and you're not going to do what I'm calling for you to do, I don't have to use you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the mandate that you don't take, it can fall on your seed mm-hmm. because you didn't do what I called for you to do. I'm going to raise up your daughter. Mm-hmm. My purpose through that generation or through that bloodline is still going to be fulfilled. I'm asking you to be a part of something that I'm doing that's so holy that will set your future up. But if you don't do it, I will go and pick somebody else. Yeah.
He will. Because, I mean, the first encounter that I had with him, he told me this year, purpose and promise. So I knew that there was something that I was supposed to be doing. He just didn't tell me what it was.
Amen.
But yeah, for me, it was the same way. Like, you can sit and sulk and say, I'm not qualified or I don't want to do it. He's not going to continue to ask you over and over to do it. He's going to give you maybe, I don't even know how many chances, but he gave me, I stepped on it. The minute that he did it, I said, well, obviously you see something in me that I don't see within myself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and take this and do it because it's an honor. It's an honor. The fact that you even want to use me who's been through a lot and done a lot of things I shouldn't have, to be a spokesperson for you mm-hmm. and to represent you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things that he does tell you. He basically, once you cross over to Christ, he tells you your purpose because he's ready for you to get to work.
Amen.
That's right? What it is. You're not going to just be a cute Christian not doing nothing. No, my people, we work.
Right.
We work. We're right. Warriors and we work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because that goes into what that scripture says where Jesus says, occupy until I come.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs.
We're supposed to be out in the field.
Right.
Working.
Exactly.
Working. And something that I noticed, like you said, going through so much when you finally do take the call, I have been through so much these last couple of months. So much. We've been through things together.
Yeah.
So much. And I just said, Lord, is this how it is? Like, mm-hmm.
When do we get to rest?
And then someone told me God gives us, there's a season to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And God will give you that rest. That rest is for you to enjoy and relax and recharge.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to come another season where you're about to get put back to in
work.
The fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, knowing your purpose is and acting upon it is huge.
Yeah. When you said, you talked about seasons, and there was a couple of things that came to my mind as you talked about seasons. One of those things was is that whenever God calls you, there's a window of there is an opportunistic window where you can accept the call. And if you don't accept the call, when that window closes, it may not be another window for you don't know until years. And when you don't accept the call and that window closes, that is oftentimes when people begin to feel like, I feel like I'm delayed. For example, God can give you a business idea and he can tell you to execute this business idea within the month of October. And you sit on it and you don't do it because God, he can give us things in a very instructional way. A, B, and C, this is what you need to do. And when you don't do it, you don't do it within the time frame that he tells you to do. Now that window is closed. You decide, let's say a few months later, that you want to revisit that idea and do that thing that you know God told you to do a few months prior, what you realize is that the opportunity is just not hitting the same. It's a struggle, and now you feel like you're delayed, and now you begin to feel like, man, if I would have done this then, and maybe even some things will happen where you realize that, oh, I see why he had it set up for me to do this, yeah, because at that time he was lining up these things. It would have been a lot easier for me. And so I say that to say it's so important to just be in tune with not only hearing the voice of God, but be in tune with your times and the seasons that God has. There's a time and there's a season to accept the opportunity. There's a time and there's a season to accept the call, execute the call, walk in the purpose.
Yeah. And how you know it's from him is because he's going to continue to bring that idea back into your mind at the most randomest time. So if you ever felt like, oh, I should be doing this, or oh, I should have been did that, that's him. Mm-hmm. That's him telling you that.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, like, if you picture it, he's the author. He has the pen for your entire life. And he says, okay, in October, I want her to do this. In November, I want her to do that. And then when you're not doing it, he's having to take that piece of paper up and he's having to rewrite something else. And you're constantly delaying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You are delaying the blessings. It's not him. And that's the thing. You're doing it. He's doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to live a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's going to get the glory out of it, but it's for you. So if you want the best that God has for you, just do what he says the first time he says it.
Radically obey God the first time. Just kind of make that be something that you practice doing. A lot of times when God, he gives, after he anoints us, he begins to show us visions of the versions of ourself that he is cultivating and taking us to.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something that he is doing where the version of ourself is not yet, the version that we are right now is not yet the person who God is showing us in the vision. So, for example, you know, some people, they may be believing God for marriage. Well, God has to take you through a purification process before he sends you your God-ordained spouse. And the version of yourself where God is showing you during your singlehood, the version of yourself that you're seeing yourself married, you begin to say, that's me. That means God is, I should be getting married today, tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh,
and then God is like, no, I actually have to clean you up to make you be that version.
I truly think that he gives us that glimpse of the future as motivation,
mm-hmm,
because that's what it was for me. When he mm-hmm. showed me where I was going to be, and I don't know, I know I was still young, so I'm worried about that, but when he showed me that, I was like, I'm not even qualified. How am I supposed to? I started trying to think about, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, stop. That's not for you to figure out.
Mm.
When I tell you to move, you move. When I tell you to sit still, you sit still.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, okay. And I said, from here on out, I just need for you to order each step. And that's literally what he's doing with my life. He will not let me know what plan B is until I do plan A. Mm-hmm. So
no, there's times where you literally have to preach the same message to me. And sometimes we need that reminder because we can know. But there's been times where Mercedes is like pouring into me this, and I'm in tears and I'm just like, I don't understand. Mercedes and I just got off of a fast that we did together.
I'm so hungry.
we're still on the fast right now, but it is today. So we can say that but I say that to say, I was sharing with her earlier, one of the encounters that God gave me on it was that, you know, I had an angelic visitation. And, you know, the angel told me, he said, everything that is happening in your life that basically I've been like a crybaby about. He was like, you're in alignment. He said, you're in alignment. And, you know, because I'm still me, I'm just like, whatever. I don't see how I can be in alignment right now.
Yeah.
But he's just like, you're in alignment. Like, I know it seems like there's some things that you're frustrated with. I mean, when you have a relationship with God, for people who say they've never been mad at God or they've never been frustrated with God, I have to question whether or not if you seriously have a relationship with him. Because it's a real relationship.
Yes.
And I get frustrated sometimes, just like how I would if I'm in a relationship with a person.
Mm-hmm. I go times when I stop talking to him for, you know, a couple days, but
attitude. Like,
I do. Last time I got a little too mad, he put the police behind me, so I kind of chilled out a little bit. I was like, all right, I got a little disrespectful. My bad.
Let
let me my straighten baby up and go. My dad. And then as soon as I said, Lord, please don't let him pull me off the foot, they went on around me. He was like, I'm the boss.
Period. You better straighten up your attitude.
But it's a real relationship. So, yeah, I think we're close to time for wrapping it up.
But I think the next thing that I wanted to just kind of hone in on, because we've talked about preparation, we've talked about purpose, but the next thing is going to be the promise. And so there were some things that he revealed to me out of Esther about the promise. He said, before you enter into the promised land, you know, we already talked about it. You'll be confronted with a problem because the anointing attracts problems and you are the solution for the problem. And then he says that there are three things that you will see within your promised land. Number one, you're going to see holy vindication from your enemies. So we see that within the book of Esther, where there was holy vindication, the same rope, basically, that, you know, Haman was plotting to hang Mordecai on, he ended up being hung on. Yep. And so we see that holy vindication. There's a celebration that also happens when you're in the promised land. And we see in the book of Esther where there's a feast, a feast that takes place, and, and they're celebrating. And then the third part is advancement, which is where, you know, God's kingdom, you know, he advances you within that kingdom. And those are the three things that occurs when you're in the promised land. So it's definitely worth going through that preparation part.
It is. So, you know, I still have yet to understand what he meant by, I know what he meant when he said 2024, purpose and promise. And I'm like, well, what's that? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the promise?
He'll reveal it to you.
I'm like, Lord, we're at the end of the year. You still ain't told me.
No,
like,
he told you preparation and purpose.
No, he said purpose and promise.
Oh, purpose and promise?
2024. And then he gave me something else for 20. He told me what 2025, that is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why I'm getting that confused.
Yeah. We ain't going to say too much, though.
We got our private lives. We just going to show y'all.
After it happened, okay?
And we was like, okay, so now we can talk about, this is what God was saying that wasn't really talking about.
I know.
But no, yeah.
Yeah, so just if you ever find yourself going through and you know you've finally taken the bait and crossed over to Christ and you feel like you're going through, just remember those words, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Amen. He literally meant that. Mm-hmm. So when you are in the trenches, He's in the trenches with you. Mm-hmm. When you're in the fire,
he's in the fire.
And he'll stay there and he'll wait. He's not going anywhere. And that's why now I have come to realization, everything is meant for my good. Mm-hmm. No matter what, Satan knows. He cannot beat me. Mm-mm. Because now I know, okay, you tried it right there. But you know what? God's going to take this and turn it around for me. So I'm not even going to worry about it.
No, he can't beat you. The only thing he can try to do is delay you. And you just keep being obedient to what God is doing. And he ain't delaying nothing.
Yes. And we talked about how weak Satan is getting as far as his plans. Because there are some things he tried on us. And we're like, that's all you got?
Like, at this point.
You running out, homie.
You running out of options, I see.
Because that was real weak. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Anywho, thank you guys for tuning in. If you're watching this podcast, please share it with someone so that it may minister to them. And we also would just ask for you guys to like, subscribe,
share.
Amen.
Share.
Help us spread the gospel of Jesus.
Yes. And our infamous saying that we're still trying to
remember. Do you remember what the enemy meant for evil?
God meant for good.
He'll turn it around every time.
Big God.
Not the little one. Period.
Period.
And we out.
Bye, guys. We love you.
God's daughters.